The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good morning. Thank you for that prayer, dear brother. I sure appreciate that. It's good to see you all today. Please pray for me as I stand before you today. I always need your prayers. But the subject that I felt the Lord gave me today is not necessarily an easy one, and it's not something that I pretend to understand fully, but I hope that this message will be scriptural and, above all, will be glorifying to the Lord. And I'll read to you from Luke, the 23rd chapter, and the 42nd verse. As you're turning there, the subject that I had on my mind today, I'll go ahead and tell you, is the subject of paradise. And if I get off track and distract you this morning, if it's hard to follow my train of thought, I'll just go ahead and sum this message up in a few words. And that is this. Paradise is wherever Jesus is.
Amen.
If you don't remember anything else I say, if I confuse anybody, try to remember that. Paradise is wherever Jesus is. And what it is about is what He is about. We read this in Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 42nd verse. And these are the words of one of the thieves on the cross who's hanging beside the Lord as the Lord is being crucified. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, many people have questions in their minds about what paradise is, and where the thief went when he died. But I'd ask you to notice here, the Lord said, today you will be with me.
Amen.
So wherever Jesus went is where that thief went.
Yeah,
so let's read on down and see where the Spirit of the Lord went. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. In other words, the Lord relinquished the life from his body. You and I don't have the power to do that. But the Lord had the power to do that. And he couldn't be killed until he voluntarily gave up his spirit. And where did his spirit go? It went to the Father. And I submit to you that the thief that died there that day was a child of God, and the Lord promised him, today you will be with me in paradise. So some people think of paradise as being this some sort of an intermediate state or some place where souls go before they actually go to heaven. But the Lord said, you're going to be with me. And the Lord, when he gave up the ghost and he died and his precious body hung lifeless on the tree, his spirit went to be with God the Father. And our dear brother just prayed in reference to our future destination that someday in heaven we would be with the Father and the Son. And that I would submit to you today is the definition of paradise. You know, there's a lot of mythology in Christianity about heaven, about what heaven will be like and what paradise would be. When I grew up, I was taught something, I think somewhere in a Sunday school class at one point, in relation to this, that the Lord on earth was a carpenter. And they said, well, the Lord is still a carpenter in heaven. You know, he's up there building your home there right now with his hands. And as I got a little older and I read a little more of the Bible, I understood that the Lord is on the right hand of the majesty on high, interceding for us. But he's already accomplished the work of our eternal salvation. And there's a place prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And the Lord will someday say to his children, as we read in Matthew, the 25th chapter, enter ye into the kingdom, which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So there is a literal place that our spirits go to when we die, as our bodies are resting in the ground, where we are with God, in the very presence of God. And I would submit to you that that is paradise.
Yeah.
And someday, Jesus, who ascended from this earth back to that heaven after his resurrection, is going to come back. And those saints that are alive at his return, they will be taken to be with him with their body and spirit glorified. Those saints whose spirits are with him now, whose bodies are in the grave, will be resurrected. And we will be with him as the family of God in paradise. But questions arise in our mind, well, where is this place? And what is this place like? Because you hear a lot sung about it in Christian songs and things like this. And I don't want to say anything today that would be in any way condescending toward anyone's beliefs or anything like that. But let's just look for a little while at what the Bible actually says about this place that we hope to be very soon. And I'll direct your attention to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter first. And again, the subject under consideration here today is paradise. You know, the word paradise in its definition refers to place of future happiness. So when the Lord told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," the Lord was saying a number of things, and some of which I'm sure I don't completely understand. But one thing I do understand is he was letting the thief on the cross know that this is not paradise where you are right now. You're hanging there in agony, dying. Okay? But I'm promising you a place of future happiness. And children of God, we should remember that. That we're going to suffer in this life sometimes. The brother said sometimes we suffer because of our sins. Sometimes we suffer because of other people's sins. And sometimes we don't know why we suffer. But this is not paradise. There is a place promised to us that we're going to someday. And Paul says this in the 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to revelations, divisions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether the outer body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise." So here we find out that this paradise is defined here by the Apostle Paul as the third heaven. And he said, "and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Don't want to go too far into that today, other than just to help us understand that there is a place that is defined as paradise, and it is called here the third heaven. Now, if there's anybody here that doesn't agree with me on some of this, grant me a little liberty, because I want to be really scriptural with this, but the reality is I haven't been to heaven yet. Okay? So, grant me a little liberty, okay? I hope everything I say is from the Bible. Peter prophesied that in 2 Peter, that a day was coming when the heavens and the earth would melt with a fervent heat and the elements would dissolve. And he said there would then be a new heavens and earth. Now we read in Genesis, the first chapter, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the Lord divided the heaven that he created with some sort of a water barrier. You can read that in the first chapter of Genesis, that he divided the waters that were below from the waters that were above. And when the flood came, he opened the windows of heaven, and a lot of that water poured down and flooded this earth. And so when we look out at nature today, if you go out today and you look up at the sky, you're seeing basically a reflection of light in our atmosphere. You might say that you're looking at sort of the first heaven. If you go out at night, you can see beyond that, can you not? You know, we don't have the light of the sun reflecting, and we can see past our, you know, our environment of air and our environment that protects us. We can see out into the universe, and we see the stars and the glory of God. So we see some heavens here. But there's also a heaven where God dwells, where righteousness dwells, that with our natural eyes we can't see into. I think you would all agree with me. And we understand that that heaven, though, has a capacity, okay, for physical life there. And what I mean by that is this. I don't believe that that paradise, that that third heaven, is just strictly speaking a some sort of figment of our imaginations or anything like that. I believe with all my heart that is a literal place, because there are several people that we read about in the Bible who are there today in their bodies. One of them being the Lord Jesus Christ. When he ascended back to heaven, and we read that in the first chapter of Acts, and he went up and the disciples looked up as he was carried up in that cloud, that was Jesus. He was in a resurrected, glorified body. And we also read about Enoch, who was translated, and we read about him over in Genesis, and read about him in Hebrews 11, that by faith Enoch was translated. He walked with God. He was not. He was carried away. Elijah was carried away in the fiery chariot. And we read about Elijah again in Matthew at the Mount of Transfiguration, the 17th chapter, how when Peter, James, and John were there with the Lord and Moses and Elijah appeared before them, they knew who they were. So there are some people there who are there in physical bodies. The Lord Jesus Christ being the first fruits of that resurrection. So we're going to go there someday. And the Lord is going to come back. We're going to be resurrected. Our spirits and our bodies will be reunited and we'll be taken to be in a place that He's prepared for us. But I would submit this to you. In Micah the 5th chapter, we read that His going forth were from of old, from everlasting. See, God's always had a dwelling place. God is eternal. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning, He created a heaven and an earth that we enjoy. We can see out into that heaven. Some people have gone past this atmosphere out into that heaven and gone to the moon, right? We've sent probes to Mars and things like that. But listen, we can't under our own power reach that third heaven. That is of the nature and the authority of God. And He has predestined and chosen a people to be with Him there someday. It's coming. It's a real place. I believe that with all my heart. And I know you do too. But we read a little bit in the Bible about what that's like. Is it a place where we would have our own priorities? You know, sometimes I think that when I hear songs about heaven. Have you ever thought about this? And I don't just mean Christian songs. Again, I don't want to be condescending today, but you know, I mean, there's some country songs out there about heaven, and you know, if heaven's not a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, not throwing any sand on whoever wrote that song, but that's the wrong attitude, okay? There's another song I ran across, and it said that, you know, heaven has got to be dirt roads and forest and bees and honey. I said, no. That's this earth, okay, that the Lord made for us. And it has fallen into some sin and degradation. And we should be very careful about attributing our desires and looking at heaven as somehow being a fulfillment of any kind of fleshly desire. We know it's a dwelling place for us, but for me to think that heaven is some kind of a, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 address, and I'm going to have some kind of a huge mansion there that's going to possibly be bigger than your mansion because I live better than you did, brothers and sisters, that is a worldly view of heaven. That is a fleshly view. I heard someone say that not too long ago. You better be very careful how you live because just like here on earth, your home many times, not always, but many times is a reflection of how you spent your money and how hard you worked, that maybe when you get to heaven, your dwelling place there is going to be a reflection of how much you did for the Lord here. I tell you what, that is taking a lust of the eyes and trying to put that over there in the third heaven. Listen, there are some things that are of the world. We talked about that last time I was here. I know Brother Chim preached about it more eloquently than I could. But the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that is not of the Father, but is of the world. It will perish with the world. When we get to that third heaven, you know what we're going to be excited about? Not huge mansions or the street of gold that is there, but the fact that Jesus is there. That we could stand before Him and praise Him in holiness. And I shouldn't take my petty desires and my petty lusts and think that heaven is somehow a fulfillment of that. Because it's not. Heaven and paradise is where Jesus is. And it is about the things that are important to Him. And if I think, well, you know, heaven like I read about in the Bible just doesn't sound very good, I probably just need to ask the Lord to give me the desires of my heart that would be from Him. And not be looking to try to get what I want when I get there. You follow me? Yeah. So let's look over in the scripture, over in the book of Revelation. We could go to some other places, but again, this is a vast subject. We want to kind of be methodical if we can be. And I turn your attention to Revelation, the second chapter. And then we'll go a little further back. I'm not going to pretend like I understand everything that's written in the book of Revelation. That would certainly be arrogant and it wouldn't be true. But some things in there I think are fairly straightforward. And I know they're all inspired by God. And I believe it all. I just don't claim to understand every single bit of it. We'll understand it better by and by. Revelation 2 verse 7 we read this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now we know from 1 John the 5th chapter that he that's overcometh is the one that believeth. And we believe through faith. So we shouldn't think that if I somehow, by my own ingenuity and my own ability, overcome here on earth, I'm going to somehow get there. If we get there, it's because we were chosen him before the foundation of the world, redeemed on the cross. He sent his Spirit to us sovereignly, and it is the Spirit of God that allows us to have faith and to believe. A belief in Jesus is a reflection of what God did at its real elemental core. Okay? But there is a place called paradise, and the tree of life is there. And turn with me, if you would, to Revelation, the 21st chapter. We said that there a time will come. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This heaven and this earth that we enjoy here in a natural sense is going to be dissolved someday. It's going to melt away. Okay. But Peter also said that the Lord would create new heavens and a new earth. And I believe by heavens there, plural, he meant the heavens that we experience and we witness with our natural eyes. Because again, there's a place where God dwells. There's a third heaven. There's an eternal dwelling place of the Lord that is of God. And it is pure and holy and is undefiled. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, the things that we experience now, the things that captivate us now, the lust that we have for money and for houses and position and for lands and all those things, those former things are going to be gone. See, we need to think, the idea of heaven is not something that appeals to me. That's in the flesh. Because we're looking at what's around us and we say, I like a little bigger piece of the pie here. That's not what heaven is about. That's not what the New Jerusalem is about. And certainly there's a reflection here for sake of time if you read on, and a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also in terms of a literal dwelling place, I believe we're going to have one. And when we get there, it's about the fact that we get to dwell with the Lord. Amen. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, for now we know in part, but then shall we know even as also we are known. He has known us from the foundation of the world. And sometimes even when we don't believe like we ought to, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. See, he knows you like you could never know yourself. He knows the sins you've committed even when you didn't realize it. And he loved you anyway. And someday you'll be able to stand before him and love him. Why? Because he loved you first. And you'll be able to know him because he knew you first. And when we get there, I don't believe we're going to be looking around and saying, well, there's no bees and honey up here. There's no deer to shoot. We're just going to be satisfied with Jesus because we're going to understand that those former things are passed away. And I'm not going to lust for those things anymore. And brothers and sisters, as you get older, you young ones, you will understand that that's a good thing. Because when you get to be my age, you realize, I'm not going to get it all anyway. You know, when I was younger, I kind of thought, well, you know, someday I might be a billionaire. That ship sailed a long time ago. And you know what? When it sailed, I threw a party. I'm glad to know that. That is fine with me. I want to be, if God will help me, to be as a humble child of God as I can until he takes me home. But you know, we read in verse 23 that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their honor and glory into it. In verse 22, I'm skipping a little bit, I know. Let me go to verse 21. I apologize, I'm skipping a little bit. The very end of that verse says, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass, and I saw no temple therein. Now this is the tabernacle of God because God dwells there. But there's not a church building apparently, because we won't need to come to church to be with God. We'll just be with God. There's not going to be any closed doors there. This passage goes on to say that there won't be any need for the doors of the city, gates of the city, if we will, to be shut. There's no night. You know, when I think of a dwelling place here on earth, I think of a place of protection. I was sitting out on the porch last night with my wife. I didn't know the weather was going to get as bad as it did. And we're sitting there in the swing talking, and I could hear some thunder way off, and I hear a little flash of lightning every now and then. And I thought, and I said, you know, if that gets closer, we better go inside. And about the time I thought that, boom, you know, it was just, and the whole El Rod, Alabama lit up like a Christmas tree. And I grabbed her and said, we better get inside. You know, that's our perception of a dwelling place or of a city, a place of protection. There won't be any sin there, see?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that, and hear me, we won't have time to get into all this today. I'm not saying the little song, I Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop, is entirely wrong and is entirely off base, and we can't be sentimental about singing some old song like that, okay? But, you know, when I think about my house and I think about the fact that it protects me from the sun and the rain and the cold and wild dogs and robbers and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I'm not looking for a house like that over there. Because there ain't going to be anything like that there, you see. My dwelling place there is going to be dwelling in Christ. It's going to be like we are the bride adorned for her husband. And we'll know him and we'll be glad to see him. Can you imagine what it would be like if someone was getting married and the lady's all dressed up at the back of the church and she's got on her beautiful gown and there's all the attendants and there's the groomsmen and there's the bridesmaids and everybody, and she comes walking down the aisle and she gets up here and there's a stranger. And she's like, what is this? I don't know this person. It's just not going to be like that when we get to heaven.
Right.
We know him a little bit here.
Yeah.
Sometimes we see his face for a little while here, don't we? But then there's other times when I think, I don't know if I believe like I ought to. I don't know if I have faith like I ought to. Listen, that's gone when I get there. If there's actual houses, mansions there, the doors won't be locked. It won't be me against them. It won't be me trying to keep you out. And it won't be me trying to have a bigger house than you or more stuff or anything like that. Because we're going to be one in Christ, see? And I think that that is the primary context of what we have to hope for when we get to heaven. I sing songs, and I have, and I probably will continue to sing along with the radio about the streets of gold. Well, first of all, to be just real specific, it says here street of gold. I don't think that term streets of gold is in the Bible in a positive context. But a lot of times I think the way people say it, that I almost think they're hoping they'll be able to take a little pickaxe in their back pocket to heaven so they chip up a few flakes. You know, what is this saying? This is translucent gold. I'm not saying it's not true gold. I mean, if the Bible says it's gold, it's gold. It speaks of purity,
right.
See? Where's the value in gold? It's because it's rare and scarce, right?
Yeah.
If somebody found a mine tomorrow of 1 billion tons of gold over here in Ecola, guess what? You know what gold will be worth tomorrow? Nothing. They'd be plating our bumpers with it because it doesn't rust. It's because it's valuable. It's so to us, we look at it and we think, oh, money, riches. No, over there, it's purity.
Right.
It's translucent.
Amen.
You can see right through it. There's nothing to bar fellowship. There's nothing to make us hate. There's no division of race or color or language or creed or sin.
Amen.
None of that. Because we're going to be with the Lord. And this is His city. And He's going to dwell with us. I think that if you read Zechariah 9 sometime, maybe we should just read a little bit of it and see what the Lord really says about people that value gold in a natural way and try to pave their streets with it. It's not a good thing. We need to be looking at paradise. We need to be looking at the third heaven, not in a sense of how we look at life right now. Because there are people in this world that are blessed with different gifts. Some are great business people, some are great at this, and some aren't. And there's different stratas of society. There's people that got a whole lot, there's people that don't have anything. And sometimes it just seems like it's sheer luck. You know, you're born in the right family or something. Let me tell you, in a spiritual sense, you've been born into the right family.
Amen.
And you're going to inherit a kingdom, but it had nothing to do with luck. It was because we were adopted and chosen in Him.
Amen.
Here's what the Lord says about gold. He says this about Tyre in Zechariah, the 9th chapter. If I can find it. Third verse. And Tyre did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. That sounds good to the natural man, doesn't it? Man, there's a city where they got gold in the corners, and they got sacks of gold, and they got silver, and you know they probably got it because they were great traders, and they were great warriors, and they stomped on everybody else. But the Lord was not happy with them. And behold, the Lord will cast her out. See, the Lord's not looking at it like we are. When we think about that dwelling place, let's think about it from His perspective. And in closing, I got about 3 minutes. I just want to share one more verse of Scripture with you. This is from John, the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the side note here, I'm getting on a rabbit trail, but you know, there's some people that have been born again. They believe in God. They may not believe in Jesus yet. And they may not believe in Him exactly like we do. That's part of the purpose of the gospel, to help them understand things better.
Right.
But if they believe in their heart, they're one of His.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't believe Jesus is up there hammering on my mansion today.
Amen.
You know, now, I'll tell you this. He did go up a hill 2,000 years ago and perform a day of work like no man ever has or ever will.
Amen.
And prepared a place for us.
Yeah.
Now, has He got a physical dwelling place prepared for us? Absolutely He does. Absolutely He does. And I don't know to what extent that's going to look like. I don't know to what extent we'll enjoy that. But let me tell you, Jesus has prepared it. God the Father prepared it for the bride of His Son, His children, whom He loved before the foundation of the world. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. What's going to be precious about that dwelling place is that the Lord is there also. In verse 15, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, there's a sense in which when the Lord went and prepared a place for us, listen, we've got a paradise waiting, but I believe with all my heart, because of the Spirit of God, because of the kingdom of God, because God gave it to us, we enjoy some of it right here and right now.
Amen.
We're dwelling in Him right now, I trust, because He dwells in us. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Where do we dwell? Where will we dwell in paradise someday? We're going to dwell in Christ. We're going to dwell in God the Father, because He dwells in us. We're going to love Him because He first loved us. We're going to know Him because He knew us first. And we're going to have His desires when we get there, not our own, because we are His. And we are going to be like Him, as John says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse. As Paul says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, he says He will change this body like unto His glorious body. There's not going to be any doubt or fear there. It's going to be joy. But I believe we have an earnest of that inheritance now. He that keepeth my commandments, that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The word abode that's used there, dwelling place, when God comes and dwells in us, it's the same exact root word used for mansions in that second verse. The Lord looks out at His house and out at His family and out at His children. Listen, we're waiting for the day when we can move in the mansion with Him. And I'm excited about seeing that city. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm excited about it. But the Lord looks out and He sees some abode among His children right now. He comes to them with His Spirit. And He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I believe it's in a special manifest way. The Lord comes and He'll dwell with us. He'll dwell with us. But you know, if I've got my ideas and my attitudes on gold and bigger and better here and just more stuff, and more things. I might miss out on that mansion that I can be a part of right now.
Amen.
The kingdom of God, where the Lord dwelleth in righteousness.
Amen.
I thank you for your time today, Brother Tim.